For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the course of the season, it's going to happen. That's the name of the game. It's not if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt, right? So dealing with, you know, whether we have new guys or, you know, we got to get them moving around a little bit today. That was good to see. So jury's still out. And again, we rock with who we got. We do a good job in our offensive unit meetings and getting guys ready to go. So whatever the case is, we'll be prepared.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen. They've got injuries. Keon Coleman could miss a couple weeks with that injury. The Bills say they're still evaluating that, so we'll see the latest. Sounds like he's not going to go this week against Indianapolis. You know, can he play through whatever it is? We'll see as time goes by. 803-0550 is our number. All right, Joe, here's a question for you.
Okay.
The Bills' current quarterback situation, that's Josh Allen versus other versions of Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Bills have what everyone, and I, you know what I mean by everyone, do the Bills currently have in Josh Allen what everyone has wanted him to be for years? And I'm not saying literally every person, but all the talking points about Allen were he needs a little more help. He needs to stop turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And he's got to stop taking hits. He's got to protect himself a little bit more. And to look at some of the numbers on what the Bills are getting this year, they are way up in yak yards, mm-hmm. which I don't necessarily subscribe to that being the end-all be-all, but whatever. That's his receivers are giving him more help, right? Whether that's Coleman or Shakir or the running game
yep.
being more diverse, and the backs are out there making plays. Like, after the catch, they are a better yak team than they have been probably ever in his time here. His turnover numbers are way down, and the two interceptions he's thrown are not his fault. He's being careful with the football, but not being too conservative. And his rushing yards and rushing attempts are down too.
Yeah.
So add all that up. Is that not what everybody has clamored for? Like, are we seeing what we think is the most sustainable version or the ideal version of Josh Allen? And then should I put in the regular season on it? Like
In the regular season, right, I think, like, is a good qualifier because he's been near perfect in the playoffs. Near perfect.
Yep.
I mean, touchdown interception ratio, his interception percentage. Like, he has some numbers in the postseason that are, like, all-time good. Like, top five. I think he has the lowest interception percentage ever, given what you make the minimum. And then touchdown interception, he's been the top, and he's near it, too. So, regular season. See, this is what's weird, though, is it does feel like that's what people have been clamoring for, because how often have we heard they need to ask Josh to do less for them? You know, or some yeah. version of that. They shouldn't have to need Josh to do all of it. Take some off his shoulders, if you will. And they've done that. But how many people also want him to win MVP?
Right.
Because, like, right now, what he's on pace for, he might have a tough time winning MVP on the numbers that he currently has. So I don't know what fans really want here. Do they want what they're seeing, which is he's at 222 yards per game. That is 30 fewer, at least, than any year of his career going back to 2019. So 2020 through 24. 222 yards per game is more than 30 yards fewer per game. 253 he had last year, which actually would have been his second lowest. This year he's at 222. And, okay, the turnovers are down too. And the rushing is down. That might be the biggest thing, right? Is the rushing. Because his attempts are down, his yardage is down. I mean, 2 years ago, he had 762 yards. He's sitting on 211, and we're more than halfway through the year. So I guess I don't know what fans want, because I don't know what they prefer. Do they prefer Allen to have these gaudy numbers that are going to win him MVP because they all want him to win MVP, or do they want him to have more pedestrian numbers throughout the regular season because they want more taken off his plate? They want to run the ball. They want yak. They don't want him to run it, and they want to get him healthy to the playoffs. Like, what do we want here?
That's a good question. His numbers are not, I mean, they're pedestrian from a, what?
From his standard.
Sure, he's probably on pace to have a slightly lower passing yard and rushing yard, but touchdowns are still way up, right? He's got
passing
20 touchdowns total touchdowns.
Are very, yeah, yeah,
17
that's right.
Passing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns. You know, like, it's, he's having a great year. No one would dispute that. And
yeah,
the other thing is, maybe, you know, as you make the MVP point, we're tracking the MVP all the time, but Lamar won the MVP last year without gaudy numbers. His numbers this year are going to be better than last year.
They weren't gaudy passing numbers, but aren't the rushing numbers for him always gaudy? Like, he had, how many rushing yards did he have last year? Did he have 1,000 or maybe just short of that? Lamar Jackson last year, he had, oh, okay, maybe not, 500 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's actually not far off of what Allen's on pace for. So, okay, that's a good point. Because Allen right now, I mean, you're right about the touchdowns. The touchdowns, he's right on the mark. Passing yardage, 3,700 yards he's about on pace for.
Yeah, which is pretty low for him.
I mean,
really low.
He's had 4,300, 4,200, 4,400, 4,500. Like, those are his last 4 years. And right now he's on pace for 37. And the rushing down too. Like, I guess the MVP point is more, do you want, I guess we don't want him to be Superman because, like, Jaden Daniels right now. I know he's a rookie. But Jaden Daniels is on pace for the same passing yardage output. He's on pace for more rushing, for sure. So if you're just making the statistical argument, I don't think fans will be, you know, happy if Jaden Daniels shows up in year one and is able to win the MVP. But that's about where Allen's at right now. Allen is maybe lower than that. If you just want to make the statistical argument, hey, who deserves it more, like, I think you could get Allen that would be top of the list just because he's been around longer and they might feel like it's a legacy thing. He deserves it more, but I don't know. I feel like wanting him to not have big numbers is just kind of a weird place to stand, a weird place to be when you also want him desperately to win the MVP. But, you know, this comes down to what are fans' preference? This would be a moment, okay, like determining, I don't really care about the MVP. I don't care about the MVP. I just want them to get to the playoffs in the best version of themselves, him be as healthy as possible, and that's what they're currently on track for. If you're worried about Allen taking extra hits and Allen, you know, not being fresh by the time the playoffs show up, well, I mean, he's right now on pace to take less hits than he has since 2019.
Good.
2020. So, yeah. If that's the preference, then that's the right place to be. It's just to say, I don't care about the MVP. And if you're just focusing on what's best for the team, maybe this is where you want him to be.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills should never care. I shouldn't say that. They should not care about the MVP. I mean, they want their player to, of course, be recognized. But for me, what this all represents, and, you know, at the good times of the season, it's felt like what we're watching is Allen in total command of the offense. And the losses that they've had, we really don't pin them too much on him. The Houston game,
right.
It's about his supporting cast is really in rough shape. And the Baltimore game, the defense got run off the field. But everywhere else, Allen has definitely been good enough. And if nothing else, like this higher yak, lower turnover, mm-hmm. and he's not doing too much, that's a plan coming together. You know,
right.
You want a couple things for your sports teams over time, and this is always like, if you'll allow me to reference the tank here, but the rooting for the Sabres to finish last when they wanted it was rooting for your team to execute a plan, right?
Right.
And you might not necessarily think that the Bills or whoever it is have the best plan, but if they lay one out there like Kincaid, we're going to draft Kincaid, we're going to go more 12 personnel, we want to be a yak team. It took them a little bit of time to get there. Last year it was clumsy and they changed coordinators, but to me what this Bills version of the offense right now, this Allen offense represents, is that they have finally gotten to the place they want to be. Will it be enough to win the whole thing? Well, that's to be determined, but more balance in the run game. We talked to Joe Marino yesterday, who said, like, this is the best the Bills have run it in forever. And James Cook's a perfect fit for this style, the zone run scheme. And the run game and the pass game are married together well. And you've got the easy button Shakir throws. And, you know, the piece that was missing earlier in the year were the options on the outside at receiver. And we think those pieces are in place now. So What I've got from Allen in the this, if it's funny, we always have to say like regular season, is a version that looks like it can win any game. He certainly doesn't look like he's going to throw you out of games, which has happened in other years. So, you know, it's on some level, I want to raise a glass and like you guys did what you wanted to do. It took you some time to get to this spot for this version of him.
Yeah,
but here it is.
I also will say, this could be different as the season goes on when it comes to his output and maybe not the form of the offense, like the style of the offense. There is a lot of the yak stuff that is still happening, but maybe I'm focusing more on like how much they are running the ball, how much they are taking the ball out of his hands. Because in the last 3 weeks, like since they made the Amari Cooper trade, knowing he didn't play in one of those games, it does look a little bit different. Like, his output looks a little bit different. He's thrown the ball at least 30 times in all three of those games. In fact, I think if I'm looking right, the three games with the most pass attempts on the year are all in the last 3 weeks. Number 1, 2, and 3. All in that order. Miami, he had the most pass attempts of the year. His second highest total of the year was against Seattle. His third highest total of the year was against Tennessee. And his numbers, 323, 283, 235. So he's averaging in the high 200s, which is very different from what he was doing before that. Remember, before they traded for Cooper, he was averaging less than 200 yards per game.
Right.
And he's got, and passing touchdowns, he's got 7 in the last 3 weeks. So part of this, too, this is not the him running point. It's more about how much they want to run the ball, neutral pass rate and whatnot. That the last three games with Cooper in the fold, maybe they're showing a little bit of what they really do want to be. That they want to run it more maybe than they did a couple years ago when they were never running it. But they're not going to be this game manager offense where Allen is just throwing the ball at the line of scrimmage and they're only asking him to throw the ball 20 to 25 times per game. I think what you're seeing here is a higher volume that, you know, I think that would be where you end up in the right spot.
Yeah.
That's where I think everybody would kind of come together. Like, this is where you want to be. He's throwing the ball enough. He's putting up good numbers. It looks like he's freed up to be, you know, playing hero ball once, or it's be Superman once in a couple times per game, but he also doesn't need to because we've got these bubble screens to Shakir working, and Cook when he's getting the ball is working. So I feel like we're the trajectory is towards everybody feeling like this will be the best version of it.
Let's get connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Nick in Buffalo is up. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on. I just think with this MVP conversation, it's very interesting because it's such a balance, right? You can't have the stats and not have the team record. I can't remember the last time a team that snuck into the wild card or a team that didn't win the division and really be like a top two or three seed had a guy win the MVP. But you also want Allen to pad the stats. But to the point of the ultimate goal of the Super Bowl, he's looked drained at times in the playoffs. He's looked at like where we need him to be Superman. He's done it all year, and he's almost running out of gas. So I think the balancing of the game managing to get that ultimate goal of a Super Bowl is really the goal. But he's still top 5 in passing touchdowns. He's still top 10 in passing yards. So it's not like he's doing nothing, right? Yeah. He's definitely more of a game manager, but I think we're keeping him much more fresh. I think he looks much more effective in these last couple games, obviously outside of that Baltimore and Houston game. And I really think that if he can continue this pace, he'll set himself up to be in the conversation. Is he blowing people away with the stats? No. But I think anyone that is able to watch football can understand what he's able to do and what he's providing for the team. So from an MVP perspective, I think he'll at least put himself in the conversation just by keeping the team record up and being one of the top teams in the league and seeing what we can do for the team. So thanks.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, I almost feel like MVP as an award, this might be overstating it, but there's a fork in the road maybe coming this year, right? If the Chiefs do finish unbeaten or 16-1, I always have to do the math on the add a game. You have to do that now?
Yes.
Right? Like
with some records. So like the ones we don't, like 16-1 we haven't seen.
Right. So right. In my head I'm like, oh, 15-1 is losing one game plus one, okay, carry the one.
Like
anyway,
13-4 I don't think I have to do it for, but right. 15-2 so, I might too, yeah.
If Mahomes gets to 16 wins, 15-2 even, and his numbers are like Lamar's last year, and he wins it, like that sentiment Nick said, it's a team record award. that will gain more traction. It frequently is you're one of the best teams and your quarterback put up monster numbers. Like Rodgers wins it with 48 touchdowns. Mahomes wins it with 50 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no monster number and they decide again it's going to be the guy on the best team. Like Mahomes in the last couple weeks has started to come around, by the way. Like we had kind of mocked him because his production was way down. Last week, 291 and 3 touchdowns. That's the Bucs. The week before, 262 and 2 touchdowns. 2 weeks before that, 331, no touchdowns, one pick. I don't know what he's – I could pull up his pace. You know, he's got 11 touchdowns. If they go 16 and 1 and he finishes with – let's give him a slight boost – 24 passing touchdowns. If that wins the MVP, like, come on. We will now. It feels like the fork in the road will have been fully taken to this is a team award given to the player on that team.
Pretty much, which is where I think it is right now. Right. Maybe there's not a realization of that. That's my biggest problem with the award is are we doing any analysis of what the player is actually doing for the team, or are we just going, oh, that team has the best record. Who's their quarterback? That's the guy who gets it. Because if you're doing any objective analysis of Mahomes' season so far, season ends today, I mean, he's not the MVP. Like, there's no objective analysis that lands on to me. He has been the best player, the most valuable player to his team this season when especially his defense so often has been really good this year. And his bar for scoring is. I mean, have they scored? They haven't scored more than 30 points on the year.
They just did this last week, but it was overtime.
They got to 30. Yeah, they got to 30. And right, it took overtime to do it. So, see, the thing about that, though, is what extra stuff are we really counting? Are we counting the overall team record? How much do we want to pay attention to that? The team success part of it. How much do we want to pay attention to whether you're a rookie or not? Are we eliminating or are we downgrading Jaden Daniels just because he's a rookie? Just because he has another award? Because really, in definition, that shouldn't matter. The fact there's another award that he qualifies for shouldn't matter to whether or not he's the MVP or not. But it does enter the equation, I think.
I mean, baseball does that too, don't they? Don't they say, well, you've got the Cy Young, you don't need the MVP for a pitcher.
Right.
And the NHL does this too. Oh, Vezina is for goalies, so you don't need an MVP to be a goalie. It's rare.
Right. But to me, that almost sounds ridiculous, right? Like, I know that's how it is, but I feel like that's totally unfair. If he's the MVP, but we're not giving it to him because he's a rookie, like, that's, and he has his own award, that's what they do, though. The legacy part of it, like, again, probably shouldn't enter the equation, but probably does. Where I think right now, Lamar Jackson, by who's played the best, who's most valuable to his team, who has the best numbers, I don't even think it's close. I think Lamar Jackson is the MVP, but I doubt highly they're going to give him a third MVP.
I think the case against Lamar is Derrick Henry. Like they're on the same team together, and Henry's going to have an unbelievable season.
Jackson though is on.
He's having a great year. Like I wouldn't dispute it, but again, it's not gaudiest. It's not.
I've
got a Let's Get Stupid, by the way, that has come to mind.
Do this. This is the thing. Like to me, the problem is like maybe this was Lamar winning it last year, and that's what I'm comparing it to. He is on pace to smash his numbers from last year.
Right.
Like he is averaging 40 yards more per game passing. He's third in the league in passing right now. He's on pace for he had 24 passing touchdowns last year in a full season. He's already at 20. Like he is going to blow by his numbers from last year. But again, maybe that's a consequence of they gave it to him last year, because I think that shouldn't matter, but I think it probably does enter the equation.
Okay, well, let me root for Cincinnati tonight so the record is down even lower. You ready for my Let's Get Stupid?
Sure.
I've got a Let's Get Stupid. This is, I mean, whatever. There are no stupid ideas. Well, yes, there are. We just talked about them in Let's Get Stupid.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's Get Stupid.
Okay.
We're complaining that the MVP is too often going to go to a team that's, you know, oh, it's the team with the bye. It's the team with this.
Yeah.
Introducing, Joe, a new NFL award. Mr. Wild Card.
Mr. Wild Card.
Mr. Wild Card.
Uh-huh.
It goes to the player voted to be the most valuable of wild card teams.
Oh, my goodness.
So Russell Wilson's going to win this every year.
Mr. Wild Card?
Mr. Wild Card.
This is horrible.
Why is it horrible?
This is a terrible
idea. Think of the debate shows. think, oh, look at, well, listen, I think Lamar's MVP, they lose and fall a game behind Pittsburgh. Well, now he's lined up for Mr. Wildcard.
Yeah.
Because you don't like it?
It seems very gimmicky. Very
this is
gimmicky.
Let's get stupid. You're allowed to do gimmicks.
That's right. Okay. Yep. Who would get What's it right
the,
now?
What we got to keep track of the stupidest Let's Get Stupid we ever did, because I don't know if Mr. Wildcard is at the bottom, but it might be pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just trying to find a way that we can remove the whole, you know, what Nick called about. It's not supposed to be, all right, let's check who's got, let me check the standings first. That's not how it's supposed to work.
No, right. Right. It shouldn't work that way. Who would be Mr. Wildcard right now?
All right. Let me check the standings.
AFC wildcard teams are Baltimore. Lamar, that makes it easy.
Lamar.
Baltimore, Chargers,
Broncos. He gets Mr. Wildcard, so he can't get MVP.
Lamar, by the way, I don't want to get held up too much on this. Last year, he had four combined yards, 4,400 combined yards, passing plus rushing, and 29 touchdowns. Right now, he is on pace for 5,500 yards and 41 touchdowns. He is... It's just the stats. Maybe it's the overall game, too. It is like it's not even a competition. He is blowing by his numbers from last year. And I know Henry is there. He's running more this year than he was last year, which I don't know how that's happening, but he would be Mr. Wildcard because, well, let's assume they win the division. They win the division.
You could get a defensive player, maybe more likely. TJ Watt would have won a Mr. Wildcard by now.
Yeah. Maybe like Kyler Murray be good for this? No, they're first place in their division, so he wouldn't count. Jalen Hurts. That'd be my answer. Jalen
Hurts. Not Saquon? Come on. Look at the diversity of positions is brought back.
Saquon.
I can give it to other positions instead of just deciding that one of the top four teams in the NFL's quarterback has to win this award.
He jumps over a guy backwards. So what?
It is the best move of all time.
The best move
Let's
of
call
all time?
What it was. Let's call it what
it's
it was.
The best. It went, he got two extra yards.
The best move of all time.
The best
you tell
move
me
of all
one
time.
Single juke ever better than jumping over a guy backwards.
Saw some good Terrence McGee jukes.
Terrence McGee? Listen, you're not going to get me to trash Terrence McGee. He made some nice moves.
The best juke. You're saying it's the best? Is it even a juke?
I'm saying it's the single best move to get by a defender in NFL history. Put it on the debate shows.
Has anybody ever, people would have done this in pickup football growing up like I did. Has anybody ever in the NFL, like, thrown the football over the guy's head and then ran past him and caught it? Has that ever happened in a live game?
I don't think that happens in tackle football because you could just blast the dude and it's a fumble.
Right. Well, no, the idea is they get distracted by the football. Oh, they look up for it and you're by them now. They're not focused on you.
The only other candidate I have for best juke of all time is like Barry Sanders against the Patriots 1 year.
Oh, he's got to have some.
When he turned the guy backwards and forth like three times.
Yes, there's a screenshot of Barry Sanders and there's a lineman looking behind him. Like he thought the play was over and he's still going. It's really funny.
Saquon, best single move of all time.
It doesn't matter that he only got like one additional yard off.
That's because there were more defenders there. If that was the last guy, he would have gone the distance. You can only juke one guy at a time. Anyway, 803-0550. Talking about Josh a little bit from and MVP. From yak yards way up to turnovers way down to fewer rushing yards and attempts to protect him, are we seeing the best version of a regular season Josh Allen offense? All the things the Bills have maybe wanted to do, they appear to be doing. Regular season, of course. You can comment on that. I've got that on Twitter. You can give us a call as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like Joe Brady in Buffalo. I was just watching and studying the game this weekend against Miami, which was a great game. Tua couldn't play any better. What he does by formations and his route combinations is he just creates space. Like, you could take three receivers on one side and run them on vertical routes, and all you're doing is creating space for somebody coming on a drag or a cross, and there's this big window there. So it's easy throws for Josh. He'll take all the easy throws you want to give him. And then, you know, at the end of the day, when he has to make a play, he's still Josh Allen. So I feel like Joe Brady in the passing game right now is very under the radar.
Brian Baldinger. High praise for Joe Brady, who, you know, as we kind of laid out last segment, good morning, Jeremy and Joe, happy Thursday. As we laid out between the yak yard offense, turning Josh Allen into a patient passer or a quick passer or a short game passer, like really bringing out more of Allen's potential here, lowering the turnovers, not putting him in harm's way. There's not a lot of designed runs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Brady, my gosh. Is,
There's been a couple, and I feel like they haven't been working.
There was one last week on third down that did not work.
Right.
You know, sometimes a guy is going to miss a block or whatever. But
there was one around the red zone, I think, the week before, too, that didn't work. But it's like one per game, maybe.
Yeah. But the whole picture, I think, is really, for Brady at least, Joe, let me ask you this. Dorsey got interviews after 1 year with Allen. Do you feel like Brady right now has a, do I want to say, like, a better resume than Dorsey did at that time? And Brady did get a call from Atlanta, right? Didn't he talk with the Falcons? They talked with a lot of
Atlanta teams. And maybe also Carolina. Was it Carolina too? No, I think it was Atlanta. Atlanta. Dorsey was Carolina the
That's
year
right.
before.
Would you bet Brady, I mean, certainly will get interviews, right?
He'll definitely get interviews.
You think he gets a job? Does he take a job? I mean, it's early to talk about this, but, you know, we've had two coaches fired.
I think if you had me bet right now, I might say he gets a job. I might say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the betting favorite for the New Orleans job.
Right.
I don't know that he'll want that job.
No, I don't either. But how many candidates are ahead of him as household names? Like, Ben Johnson is the name.
But
right?
It sounds like he's waiting for Chicago.
Maybe. Ben Johnson, Belichick, and then from there, you know, it's your hot coordinator, and right now, Brady's probably on the short list there.
I wonder if it matters at all, past history for Brady. Brady worked, his first job in the NFL for 2 years was being an offensive assistant for the Saints, and then he got the job at LSU. Hmm. So, I don't know.
Maybe that's why he's listed as the betting favorite, as the connection?
Maybe. But even the betting site wouldn't know. Does right. Joe Brady, like, is his dream to go back to Louisiana? Like, does that matter to him? Because the job itself stinks, right? Like, there's no ifs, ands, and but like, that's a horrible job. They can't, looking at their cap stuff, they can't even move on from Derek Carr next year because they just can't afford the dead cap. So they're kind of stuck in a holding period here. So does Brady want that? And then how many other jobs do we think even become available? Because I think there are going to be a couple names ahead of him. Johnson will be one. Is Slowick have to be like a more Bobby Slowick, the Texans offensive coordinator? Like, does he have to be a hotter candidate right now than Joe Brady does?
Yeah, we'll see. He was definitely a hot candidate last cycle, and this year we'll see how Houston's season finishes.
Yeah, but there's like jobs that will become available. The Saints job will be available. The Jets job will be available.
The Giants job could be.
Could be.
Could.
I might want to Tampa maybe.
I mean, the interim coaches, what about the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets is one. Yeah, so Jets, Saints, and then, man,
there's usually about six jobs. That's
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Does he want that one? Does he like Trevor Lawrence, you know?
There are a lot of people who would like Trevor Lawrence and think that you probably can get better out of that, yeah.
Again, trying to figure out, like, where he's from. So he worked in Louisiana for a bunch of years, but he is from Pembroke Pines, Florida. So maybe Florida, too. I don't know. I think I would want to lean yes, but I'm kind of on the fence.
803-0550, our number 1-888-550-2550. We'll go back to the phones, connect with our fans. Tim in Dallas is next up. Hey, Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy Thursday, guys.
Morning.
My issue was the trade deadline with Keon Coleman's situation. I know it happened, but, you know, I heard you guys talk about the depth at receiver, and if one guy goes down, who we'd have to, you know, pick up the pieces and just fall in there. So I don't know what the offense is going to look like. Maybe Dawson Knox out wide or whatever. So I was going to ask you about the practice squad guy. Who do you think they're going to bring up? Or you're just thinking we're going to go more 12 personnel?
Thanks, Tim. The way that the practice squad receivers shake out, and this can maybe be a question for Sal coming up at 8 o'clock, it seems like the receiver they're calling up is the guy that they don't plan to throw to, right?
Mm.
Jalen Virgil. Like he's been elevated a couple times.
He's been elevated twice in a row. Isn't that, though, because he best emulates Curtis Samuel?
Maybe. They don't throw to Curtis Samuel, so I guess that does emulate Curtis.
But it's like the same like slot. The guy comes in motion, right? Like right before the snap. That's what they've done with Virgil. They did activate and played Shavers against Houston.
Yep.
Like to me, I'll ask Sal. My bet would be Shavers just because I think where he lines up, his body type and the role that you'd be asking to fill in, I feel like you'd rather have 6'4", 211 Tyrell Shavers playing Coleman's spot than 5'9", Jalen Virgil.
That makes sense. Yeah, what I was kind of getting to was what practice squad receiver would they call up if they planned to throw to a practice squad receiver? And
okay.
I guess that's Shavers, right? Like, that's the point
so.
You're making.
He got first-team reps with Josh Allen in training camp. Is there another – I guess Hamler maybe had that happen too. I'm just trying to think. Like Deion Kane and Jalen Virgil haven't – how many reps have they had with Josh Allen? Any? I don't know the answer to that question. So I would think that it's Shavers. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks, Tim, for the call. Let's go to Matt in Orchard Park. What's up, Matt?
Morning, guys. First time, long time. So I think you talked about this yesterday on the show, and I wasn't able to listen into the full conversation, but I can't decide who to root for tonight, whether it's the Bengals or the Ravens. So if you guys could spend 30 seconds on that, I'd really appreciate it. Make my night a whole lot better. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I'm a little bit on the fence. I think I'm leaning rooting for the Ravens right now. I think that division is going to be a tough fight, and I think I can get with if it's so it's a little bit far out for me yet on rooting for seeding over a team to be eliminated. I think you could root for the seeding because I don't think it's so early that you couldn't do it. And the argument for that, as Jeremy made last hour, is like Baltimore falling down to one more spot would allow to the four seed or even the five would help prevent you from playing them in rounds one or two. You might get a path that doesn't include Baltimore, where Baltimore and Kansas City play each other before you play them. My lean, though, in this game is I just want the Bengals out. I don't want to deal with them. They go down to a 30% chance to make the playoffs if they were to lose this game tonight. And I think the teams that you're looking at in the AFC wildcard picture, I think the Chargers are going to get in, and I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore are probably both going to get in too. So that's one spot left. And there are not a lot of teams fighting, by the way. Like Tennessee, Miami, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Raiders, Patriots. They're like all dead already. So like, I guess that's why I'm leaning Ravens over Bengals, because Bengals versus Colts, Bengals versus Broncos, Bengals versus Jets, like, to me, I see a big enough gap there.
Which organization do we hate the most? Because Bengals are high for me. They're obnoxious nature.
They are. I do love a good there was a joke about the other day on Twitter about how the Bills have made – they're already selling tickets to next year, and the Bengals are furious. Like, whatever.
Joe Mixon's going to be mad about that.
Yeah. Well, if you want the best possible revenge tour for the Bills on their way to winning the Super Bowl, I do think they're included.
Yeah.
Are they? What's their most fun path? Would it go like Bengals,
literally,
Ravens, Chiefs?
All paths are fun.
But like the most revengey of them.
I don't even know. Who's the NFC team?
You know, like the Colts. Like, who cares about the Colts? Right?
Yeah.
The NFC, maybe there is no NFC team.
803-0550. You lost my connection there. We're going to do this where I broadcast from home on Thursdays now. It wasn't anything about the equipment. I just kicked the plug. So, yeah. Hand up. That's where I got to go to the bench.
You just clicked the pull.
You know, ask me about it in postgame. What happened when we lost you there, the 7:30 segment?
You kicked the plug.
Yeah, you know, just...
Was the plug is loose enough where a kick got it out of there, or was it a hard enough kick?
That's the kind of thing we're going to take a look at the tape and review that and check our process. And make sure that doesn't happen again. So, you know, hand up, learn from it, and be better tomorrow.
All right.
That's the plan. Yeah, I just kicked it. I knew it had happened. Well, you got one job. Do not unplug the thing while you're using it.
I did that once. I think I was I was interning at Harbor Center like a long time ago, and I think I kicked the plug while operating the scoreboard during a hockey game. So
the
scoreboard went out.
Nice.
I don't think there was, if it had been like the final minute of a period, maybe it would have been a bigger deal because we got it back up in like 20 seconds. But yeah, that immediately was like, oh no, hopefully a coach doesn't get mad because he doesn't know how much time is left on the clock.
803-0550, our phone number. Pick of the week. We're moving it up a bit. Going to get you the pick of the week coming up and more of your calls as we cruise through a football Thursday. There's Bengals and Ravens tonight. Choose your warrior. And Sabres-Rangers tonight as well on WGR. Time for the pick of the week. That's brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Pick of the week is at Riverfront, a 2014 Toyota Sequoia powerhouse SUV. Ready for adventure, spacious interior, rugged performance, and Toyota reliability. Whether you're hauling the family or hitting the road for a weekend getaway, the Sequoia has you covered. Hurry over to Riverfront Auto Sales, 1379 Niagara Street, and test drive this vehicle. Go to riverfrontautosales.com or call 886-1626 for more details. The 2014 Toyota Sequoia four-wheel drive. All right, Joe, pick of the week. NFL. I'm going to do Steelers Commanders.
You're not going to go with your Arsenal? Who do they play this week?
They
dead you?
Sensitive subject. Don't bring it up.
Chelsea on Sunday. I mean, it's a big one.
It's a cursed season.
That's a big one.
Although I've been saying cursed season.
Cursed.
A cursed season.
Is that worse?
I feel like if you say cursed, you're making it more like that's how cursed it is.
It's like super cursed.
Yeah, right? Cursed?
Yeah.
I've been... Is that a way to say it?
I don't even know.
Is there
I've
a
heard
difference?
It. Is cursed.
A cursed season. Instead of the season is cursed.
I think it might just mean... How would you spell cursed? I don't even know.
The same way.
Here's the definitions. So curse can mean something that's hateful or abominable, deserves a curse. Cursed. A cursed can also be used to describe something that's very annoying or something you're angry about.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's Arsenal season. Yeah, that's why they're not getting picked.
Perfect.
So it's Steelers Commanders because there's two things. One, this is are the Steelers legit?
Mm-hmm.
If they beat the Commanders, that's a pretty impressive win. Not a lot of teams have done that.
Yep.
And two, for the Commanders, there's a little bit of a, you know, we talked with Judah Forking of PFF yesterday about the big four or the big five. A lot of NFL, whatever, the tiers, it's Chiefs, Lions, Niners, Ravens, Bills. Those are like the five. And you asked him who's six, he said Washington should be in that conversation. So
yeah.
If Washington is one of the big teams and they went out and traded for Marshawn Lattimore, I feel like if Washington beats Pittsburgh, even though the Steelers are whatever, they're good. They're having a good year.
They're fine. Yeah, they're at least pretty good, I think.
So I feel like Washington-Pittsburgh, whoever comes out of that game, I've got to start to really look at a little bit more because it's a good win for either team. And, you know, a lot of times these matchups – Bills Chiefs, whoever wins, we know is good, and whoever loses, we think is probably good too. In Washington Pittsburgh, I just feel like it's a big one. Whoever wins, you know, a big feather in their cap, a big resume builder for the winner of that game. So that's my pick of the week is Washington Pittsburgh.
Do you know the spread or want to guess it?
Where's the game?
The game's in Washington.
I would say it's the Commanders are 2.5-point favorites.
You are right on it. 2.5 okay. points. Yep. Exactly right.
Washington's defense has started to look... At the
They've
start
been a
of
little
year,
better. Yeah.
A lot better. Yeah, at the start of the year, it was everything is a shootout.
Yes.
And then they've gotten a little better, and they just added Marshawn Lattimore. So it's you know, wouldn't it be wild if the Commanders just, like, showed up and won the Super Bowl with J.D. Daniels?
What are you...
I mean,
what
I don't really think it's going to happen.
Great year to be a D.C. sports fan, because it looks like Ovechkin's going to break the record this year now, too, and you'd have the Super Bowl at the same time.
Yeah, right after you and I said, like, hey, he's not really scoring. Was he got, like, 10 in the last five games?
He's on a five-game goal streak.
Yeah.
Right now. He scored again last night. Yeah.
Well, I think we should take responsibility for that. You're welcome.
He's on pace to break the record right now on March 7th. Like 20
really?
Games before the season ends. See, they play the
really?
Sabres on March 30th. Yeah, at his current goal pace, he's on pace to break it at home March 7th against Detroit.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are the tickets going for on the secondary market right now for that game?
That's funny because someone tweeted out yesterday that that's what he's on pace for, and I wonder if the games around there are going to start shooting up to like $200. I don't know.
Wow. It's exciting.
It's not like a home run ball, though. You're not getting the puck.
No, but still, to have been there...
Yeah, no,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I hope he does it at home.
I can't wait for the goal to be challenged for offside.
Okay, that needs to not happen somehow. I need all, so 32, all 31 coaches need to get together and be like, guys, we don't care how illegal it is. If they call it,
what a moment.
The Sabres play on March 30th. Are we going to be mad at them if they challenge the goal?
If you're just joining us, we the officials have the iPad. They're checking to see if the record-breaking goal in NHL history was in fact offside. Guys, it's been 3 minutes. What do you think?
I mean, you would be, if the Sabres want to be the most hated franchise in all of hockey, you do that. You want to be the villain? Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Sal coming up, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.